This is Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. Apart from nearly 700,000 Rohingya refugees who have fled across the Myanmar border, a further 400,000 are living in dire situations at home without access to health care or education. That's according to Ursula Muller, the UN's Deputy Relief Chief and Assistant Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, who spent nearly a week inside Myanmar earlier this month. In talks with government officials about the plight of the mainly Muslim ethnic minority, who are based largely in Rakhine State, she also met State Councillor and Nobel Laureate Daw Aung San Suu Kyi, who talked about the importance of ending violence as well as peace and reconciliation. In an interview at UN headquarters in New York with UN News, Matt Wells asked Ms. Mueller to outline what she'd seen.
I traveled to Rakhine State and Kachin State, and there's humanitarian needs in the whole country. In Kachin State, there's still armed conflict going on, people in need of humanitarian assistance and protection. Landmines is a huge issue. And in Rakhine State, there's around 400,000 people, most of them identify themselves as Rohingyas, that are in dire situations, particularly those in IDP camps.
From what you saw from the Myanmar side, we've obviously heard many harrowing testimonies from refugees about the rights violations that they suffered, yet the Myanmar government has continued to deny that any abuses took place. What needs to happen, in your view, to make this safe, dignified and voluntary return possible? Can it happen?
The principles for return are clear. The return has to be voluntary, safe, dignified and sustainable. People told me they don't see the conditions ripe for a return of large numbers of refugees. People in IDP camps are restricted in their movements. They have no access to health, to education. So the government would need to take steps to signal to the refugees in Bangladesh that they can go back to their places of origin and rebuild their lives.
I mean, the UN has said that this is tantamount to ethnic cleansing, what's taken place since August last year. I mean, did you get any indication that the Myanmar government is prepared to change its policy and accept some responsibility for what's happened in terms of this mass displacement?
The roadmap to sustainable solutions and development and also to meeting humanitarian needs is the Rakhine Advisory Commission. Their recommendations have been accepted by the government of Myanmar, and the United Nations is ready to support the implementation.
This is the commission that's been led by former Secretary General Kofi Annan.
Correct. These are the Kofi Annan advisory recommendations, and the United Nations can support the communities, the government, to implement them in accordance with international principles. That means to address humanitarian needs, to address the situation in the IDP camps, to have solutions, durable solutions, for the people to go back to their places of origins.
There has been an agreement signed between the Bangladesh authorities and Myanmar government. I mean, do you see any signs of any refugees wanting to return at this stage? When you spoke to IDPs within Myanmar, did any even think it would be even possible for their fellow Rohingya to come home?
When I listened to the people I met in IDP camps, they had enormous security concerns. They shared with me the restriction of movement, that they cannot go to hospitals, not go to schools, and even the situation inside the camps are dire. So what would be a signal to the refugees in Bangladesh would be to have an improvement of the situation in the IDP camps, but also to work towards reconciliation and peace and development.
Now, you met with the Nobel Peace Prize winner and Myanmar State Councillor Aung San Suu Kyi. What can you tell us about your conversation with her, and what questions did you have for her, and how did she reply?
In my meeting with the State Councillor, we discussed the importance of ending the violence, of stability and peace and reconciliation. I offered the support of the United Nations to address the humanitarian needs and the protection needs that are across the whole country, and advocated for access for humanitarian actors. We discussed also the need for the government to implement the Kofi Annan Advisory Commission's recommendation to have the conditions for a reconciliation and for the development of the people in Myanmar.
Did she give you any indication that there was a change of heart coming from the top of the government in terms of how they deal with the IDPs and with the refugee issue?
She mentioned that her top priority goal is to work towards social reconciliation and internal peace, and that the government would focus on Rakhine State, which is one of the two poorest states in Myanmar.
What more needs to be done on the part of the UN's work to provide vital aid to the Rohingyas within Myanmar and in Bangladesh and other ethnicities, of course, inside the country?
Absolutely. It's various groups, various ethnic minorities, Muslims that identify themselves as Rohingyas. What's really important is that humanitarians have access. And in my various meetings with authorities, I made this point very clear that in order to be able to provide humanitarian assistance and access, humanitarians need to have access, and that we are facing impediments, bureaucratic impediments. So I pleaded for abidance with the international humanitarian law that asks for access for humanitarians to get the assistance and protection to the people in need.
Do you feel that you were heard, that your request got a fair hearing?
My mission had the purpose of advocating for the situation of the people inside Myanmar, raising the issues regarding humanitarian access with the authorities concerned, and I made concrete proposals. What needs to be addressed, that humanitarian assistance can be delivered to the people in need. And I really welcome the opportunity to be able to go to Northern Rakhine States to see for myself the conditions and to listen to the people and to get a first-hand impression. But the face-to-face with the government authorities was a good opportunity to advocate for continued access for humanitarian assistance, but there's also a need for funding. We can scale up our humanitarian assistance to the people in need, but for the humanitarian response plan for Myanmar, we are asking for $183 million to meet the needs in 2018.
And how does the UN and OCHA in particular keep this crisis in the spotlight? It's obviously the months have gone by since last August, and there are many other crises in the world that are demanding attention and funding dollars.
The purpose of my six-day mission to Myanmar was to exactly raise the profile of the humanitarian situation in Myanmar, and it's also up to the media to amplify this advocacy role.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add in terms of your impressions and action points coming back from Myanmar from this trip?
One point I also agreed with the State Councillor is the need for building national capacity. And I can share that the Myanmar Humanitarian Fund allocates 40% to national humanitarian NGOs because they have the access, they take the risk, and they also can deliver humanitarian assistance.